Good afternoon. Let's recap the day so far for Father Doug. Knowing him, he was up at least 3 a.m. this morning praying. Then he went to the cathedral and he was ordained a priest at 10 a.m. in a service that didn't end until afternoon. Then he went to the reception where he blessed probably 300 or 400 people. Then he came here to set up for the reception and set up for Mass. Now he's celebrating his first Mass as a priest, and oh wait, after the reception today, he's going to Notre Dame Seminary to do a family wedding at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight. So, how about that? So I'm preaching the homily so that we can make sure he makes it to day two of his priesthood. No, actually, it is a tradition in the Catholic Church that a newly ordained priest asks a priest who is maybe a mentor, usually translated as an older priest, to give the homily at his first Mass. And I have served as, my name is Father Joe Palermo, and I've served as Father Doug's spiritual director at the seminary for the past 6 years. I began as his mentor. We have become friends. I'm grateful for the privilege of being able to preach today. And by the way, how do you like the ring of the words, Father Doug Bush? Several years ago on Easter Sunday, every Easter we gather at my brother Rob's house in Covington, and we gathered for our traditional Easter celebration. And after we spent the afternoon talking, visiting, eating way too much food, and especially way too much Easter candy and desserts, we decided to watch the concluding episode of the Bible miniseries on the History Channel. We settled into our chairs and the show began, and everybody was there. It was about 20 people, and everybody was there, even my niece Hannah, who at that time was 6 years old, and she came and joined the party too. And the final episode of the miniseries on the Bible was very expansive. It began with the arrest and trial of Jesus, and then his brutal crucifixion, and that was when Hannah jumped up into my brother Rob's lap. Then came the resurrection, then the ascension of Jesus into heaven, then the descent of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church. The production was incredibly well done. I had a particular curiosity to see how the producers were going to depict the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Would Jesus literally lift off the ground like a spaceship and rise into the heavens? No, it was much more subtle than that. Jesus was teaching and telling his disciples that he was commissioning them to spread the gospel, and all of a sudden the camera panned way, way, way back, and you saw Jesus at the foot of a very high mountain and his disciples around him, and then suddenly there was this incredible vibration and noise on the screen and a kaleidoscope of color, and when it all stopped, Jesus had disappeared from sight. And at that, my niece Hannah climbed out of my brother's lap, looked at us all and said, "That was cool." And indeed, the ascension of Jesus back into heaven is very cool. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, there was no joy among his disciples, only grief at the loss of their beloved Lord. But when Jesus rose from the dead, and then when he ascended into heaven, the scriptures tell us that the disciples experienced amazement and joy. They finally got it. Jesus was not gone at all. He was with them in a new way forever. The ascension of Jesus is a key part of our Catholic faith and the story of Easter. It is the official moment when Jesus passed the baton of evangelizing the gospel to the disciples and to each of us. We are the Lord's foot soldiers. I had to get that soldier thing in there someplace. We are the Lord's foot soldiers for the spread of the gospel. We are now the ones in place of Jesus, who has gone to heaven, to teach the faith, visit the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the immigrant, and uphold the sanctity of life and marriage and family. What trust God has in us to commission us with this task. The ascension is also the moment when Jesus claimed his rightful place alongside God the Father in heaven. Because Jesus was so faithful to God's commands, God glorified him with majesty and power and made him King of the universe and Judge of the living and the dead. And we recognize that act of glorification of Jesus by the Father every time we profess the creed and say this: He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. That is a fruit and a reality of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The ascension also confirmed that God has permanently bonded God's divinity to our humanity, because when Jesus ascended into heaven, he did not ascend as a spiritual being, but he ascended as a person with a body, a human body. Jesus was a spirit when he came into this world, but he took on flesh and took on a human body in the womb of Mary when he was incarnate. And the fact that Jesus has taken such an important part of our human existence into heaven, our bodies, means that God has truly confirmed his unfailing love and commitment to us and has shown us the sign of what he has destined us to be and where he has destined us to go. The ascension also celebrates the fact that Jesus is now our number one intercessor in heaven. Since Jesus experienced all parts of human life except for sin, he understands firsthand the joys, the challenges, the trials, the sufferings, and the temptations of life. He understands them, he empathizes with us, and he advocates for us with the Father from his experience of being human. And here's the best part of all. He's no longer restricted by time and space. The earthly laws of physics are over. Jesus can now relate to us and doesn't have to be face to face with us and touching us bodily. But by virtue of the ascension, he now transcends space and time to be our full-time defense attorney in heaven. And with full confidence, we can talk to him at any time with any problem and any need and know that he is right here listening to us, ready to help us and ready to answer us and ready to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. The final point about the ascension is that it really does fulfill God's promise of eternal life, the promise that Jesus made repeatedly to his disciples. The gates of heaven were closed because of the sin of our first parents. But because of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the gates of heaven are reopened. The ascension confirms what Jesus told his disciples all along, and especially at the Last Supper, that he had prepared a place for each of them, and he would personally come and get them and escort them to heaven if they remain faithful to God. And Jesus has a reserved place in heaven for each of us as well. We can say no to God, but if we say yes to God as God desires, Jesus will be our personal escort into eternity. So all of these are reasons why the ascension is a vital part of the Easter story: the passing of the commissioning of the gospel to us, the glorification of Jesus by God's right hand, the taking of our human body into heaven to become permanently part of God's divinity, the intercession of Jesus for us as our defense attorney forever, and the fulfillment of the promise of heaven by the reopening of the gates. This is why the ascension is a hugely important part of the season of Easter. Since many people couldn't get off of work to go to Mass and give thanks on a Thursday, we no longer celebrate Ascension Thursday in most places, but we celebrate Ascension Sunday. This is simply too important a feast to be missed, and thanks be to God for the glory of Jesus' ascension. Today, of course, besides the Feast of the Ascension, we do indeed celebrate the first Mass of Thanksgiving of our brother in Christ and dear friend, Father Doug Bush. By baptism, God has called each of us sitting in this church to what we call the common priesthood of Jesus Christ. When each of us were baptized, we were anointed with oil to be a priest, a prophet, and a king. A priest to be committed to holiness and godliness in life, a prophet to proclaim Jesus to the world, and a king to order our world towards God. But God calls some people, in addition to the common priesthood, to what we call the ministerial or ordained priesthood, for the special mission of communicating God's presence and love in this world through sacramental signs. An ordained priest, this ordained priest, Father Doug, was changed today in his being. He was changed, so now he acts and moves and serves in the person of Jesus Christ. He is an alter Christus, another Christ. He is a mediator between God and man. As the Archbishop said so eloquently this morning at his homily at the cathedral, no person deserves this. No one is worthy of this, but yet God calls some and gives it as a gift. So how did Father Doug get his call? Well, if you know him, you know he is a cradle Catholic and a cradle New Orleanian. He attended Catholic elementary school and Catholic high school. And if there's anybody in this church who does not know, he went to Holy Cross, okay? Anybody know? See, everybody knew that. Following that, he entered the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and began a career of service in the Army. Along the way came family life with the joys and sorrows and challenges that every family has to some degree, and eventually a decision to retire from the Army and a new career as a long-distance truck driver. And it was while driving the highways and byways of this country that Father Doug fell in love with Jesus and rediscovered his Catholic faith, and really, really was zapped by the Holy Spirit and by Christ. Over time, over almost a million miles of driving, he heard a call from God to explore the ordained priesthood, which he has done at Notre Dame Seminary for the past 6 years. At the seminary, through faithful, dedicated prayer, through full engagement in the community life of the seminary, through a variety of ministry experiences, including serving here at St. Rita Church, and through the rigors of theological study. Theological study is not easy for 25 and 30-year-olds. It's definitely not easy for 50 and 60-year-olds. But through all of that, through persevering, through God's grace, through constantly seeking God's help, it became clear to Father Doug, it became clear to you, the people of God, it became clear to the seminary formation team, and most of all to the Archbishop of New Orleans, that God indeed was calling Doug to the ordained priesthood. As Father Doug begins serving as an ordained priest, he has many gifts for this vocation. He is a very good communicator. He is a natural-born leader. He is a very friendly person. He is a people person off the charts. He is generous, compassionate, and kind. And in addition to that, in his 6 decades of life, he has a wealth of real-life experience in family life and the world that will help the people of God. Newsflash, he is not perfect. I am not perfect. None of us priests are perfect, but neither was the first class of priests, the first seminary, perfect either. Remember the apostles? Peter, the closest friend of Jesus, who denied knowing him. James and John, special in the eyes of Jesus, fighting to see who could sit at his right and who could sit at his left. Thomas, doubting Jesus' resurrection. 11 of the 12 abandoning Jesus at his arrest. All 12 being slow as molasses to understand who Jesus was and what he was calling them to do. Actually, when you think about it, this is really not a lot for us priests to have to aspire to, if you look at the first seminary class. In the New Testament letter to the Hebrews, the writer says this, quote, "A priest is chosen by God from among the people. He is able to deal patiently with erring sinners because he himself is beset by weakness." In other words, weakness is a necessity to become an ordained priest. It is a requirement so that a priest can remain humble and always recognize that any good that he does comes from God working in and through him and not from his own graces. Weakness is the question Father Doug and other men consider in the seminary during their journey. Am I weak enough to be a priest? Can I step aside and allow Christ with his power to come within me in my weakness and allow him to work in me? And Father Doug answered that question resoundingly, yes. God has given Father Doug an abundance of gifts and experiences to be a faithful priest and mediator of God's love in our world. He will do this by celebrating Mass, as he's doing today, by preaching and teaching God's word, as he is not doing today at this Mass, by reconciling sinners, by comforting the sick and the hurting, by baptizing, marrying, burying, and most of all, by being a spiritual father to many. By the power of the Holy Spirit, today, he has been anointed to lead the people of God to embrace the love of God in a world which desperately needs the love of God in our lives and hearts. So thank you, God Almighty, on this Ascension Sunday for all the fruits and graces of Jesus' ascension into heaven. We especially thank you that Jesus now sits as an intercessor for us and for our needs. And thank you, Lord, for calling Father Doug Bush to serve as an ordained priest in the person of Jesus Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit will do a mighty work in you, Father Doug, and we pray that Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus and our mother, will also pray for you and intercede for you always. Congratulations and Godspeed, O priest of Jesus Christ.